It seems to me that I very, very regularly forget, when we have children's liturgy, I forget to mention who the Mass is being offered for. So the Mass this morning is being offered for the repose of the soul of Joel and Maria Concepcion Ventura. Today, of course, we celebrate one of the great mysteries of our faith, the mystery of the inner life of God, the Trinity. And of course, when we celebrate this, this is something we could never have known by ourselves. We could never have figured out the Trinity on our own. We know it because it has been revealed to us by God himself, the reality of his inner life. Now, in the past, I've gone into a little bit more of the theology. If somebody came up to you on the street and asked, what do we mean by the Trinity, what would you say to them? I'm not going to go so much into the theology today because there are other places you can go. Even if you look on YouTube with Bishop Barron's Sunday homily for today, he goes a little bit more into the theology or other things that he has given. He's got a whole series of talks on the mystery of God and why he matters. So if you want to go into the theology, there are places like that that you can go into to plumb a little bit more into the depth. It's a little bit deep, it's sometimes complicated, but there are places to go for that. But what I want to focus in on is on something we know about God, something that has been revealed to us by God, something that we hear in Scripture, and has been repeated to us over and over the course of our lifetime. And that's the fact that God is love. God is love. Now, a solitary being cannot be of his essence love, because there's nobody, if I'm a solitary being, there's nobody to love and nobody to return my love. The Trinity makes sense because it makes sense of the statement that God is love, because we see that within the Trinity, there's that communion of love where love is shared among the persons of the Trinity. But we want to look at the kind of love that it is, because the Father pours himself out completely to the Son, a complete gift of self. And the Son, in turn, gives of himself completely to the Father. And the bond of love between them is the Holy Spirit. So it's this complete gift of self that we acknowledge as the reality of the love that exists within the Godhead. But in the spiritual world, because God is spirit, somebody can give themselves like that and experience, in a sense, no loss. I give myself, but I don't lose anything in that exchange. In the material world, though, when we give generously, we always experience loss. If I give something to you, it means I don't have it anymore. I experience that loss so that I can give it to you. And even there was a skit that was very popular among youth groups years and years ago, where they were talking about love and showing how the more that you give love away, the more it grows. And the more you hold it to yourself, the more it shrinks. But even though the love grows the more that you give it away, there are certain aspects of the material realm that we lose. For example, if I give my love to somebody by spending time with them, well, I lose that time. The time I give to you is time that I don't have to myself. And so every time we give something in this world, we experience loss. And of course, we see that Jesus gives that example with his death on the cross, that he gives himself completely, holding nothing back. First of all, in love for the Father, that he pours himself out completely, but also in love for us. But in giving that love, he loses his own life. He gives up something. But of course, we know that the Father gave it back to him again in the resurrection, that he was raised again from the dead to the glorious life of the resurrection. There's a story about a young couple that went down to Las Vegas, and they got married in one of those chapels that they have down there in Las Vegas. And after the wedding ceremony, the groom said to the minister, he said, "How much do I owe you?" And the minister said, "I don't know, how much is she worth to you?" Well, that's not really a fair question, and it really puts the fellow on the spot. But I don't think it's an unfair question to ask, how much is our relationship with God worth to us? How much is everything that God has done for us? How much is that worth to us? Because God expects us to imitate his love. We remember just a few weeks ago, the gospel message when Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. That's the new part. This new commandment is not love one another, but it's love one another as I have loved you. In other words, love in this complete sense, in a total giving of ourselves to others. So how do we do that? Again, when we look at the generosity, you're like, how much is it worth to us? We can look at the example of so many of the people who have gone before us, and even people of today, where it meant enough to them that they were willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of the gospel. Their relationship with God involved how they dealt with their material blessings. Just this past week, we celebrated the feast of two different saints who were noted for this. On Wednesday, we celebrated St. Barnabas, and on Friday, we celebrated St. Anthony of Padua. St. Barnabas, one of the things I love about St. Barnabas is his name, because his real name wasn't Barnabas. His real name was Joseph. But the early community nicknamed him Barnabas, which is a name that means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. Why was he the son of encouragement? Because they were talking about how in the early Christian community that people sold their property and gave the proceeds to the apostles, who distributed the proceeds among the needy. But then Barnabas is singled out as a person who sold a particularly large piece of property and gave the money to the apostles, who distributed it among the needy. But that's why he's the son of encouragement, is because of the level of sacrifice that he was willing to incur voluntarily for the sake of the gospel. St. Anthony of Padua is very similar, where he was from a very wealthy family in Portugal. And as the oldest son, the inheritance was going to come to him. But he forsook his inheritance. He gave up his inheritance to his younger brother and gave himself completely to the service of God in the Franciscan order. And of course, the Franciscans were very young at that time. St. Francis was still alive when St. Anthony was alive. And in those days, again, they were very much what's called a mendicant order, which is a begging order. In other words, they relied completely on God for everything that they got. They didn't have any stuff that they stored up for themselves. They relied completely on God. And St. Anthony was willing to give up all of his earthly possessions in order to be able to receive the treasures that come to us from God. We could also look at many other of the saints in the history of the church. And, you know, people of great means like St. Margaret of Scotland, St. Elizabeth of Hungary. And the reality is that they were concerned about the material well-being of people. They built hospitals. A lot of these early saints, if you look at their lives, a lot of these well-to-do saints who never used their wealth for themselves, but for the sake of others, a lot of these early saints would not sit down for a meal unless a poor person was at table with them. They would always have some poor person who was sharing their meal with them. Just an amazing reality that we find in the lives of many of these earlier Christians. Be a little bit more complicated today, you know, like our circumstances are a little bit different. But still, it's an amazing thing how seriously they took the commandments of God. And the real question that I think is fundamental for us is, what does God expect of me? What does God want me to do in terms of my material possessions? We could do a whole Bible study. There's so many facets to this that it's impossible to address everything in one homily. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't mind trying to do a Bible study at some point here in the fall just to go over some of these things, because it is a multifaceted reality in terms of looking, what does the Bible say? What do the scriptures say in terms of how we are to see our material wealth, our material well-being? What are we to do with that? And the reality is that certainly we are called to give to the poor, to give to those who are needy. By the way, following Mass today, of course, we've got our big celebration for Holy Trinity Sunday. But we also have a little bake sale going on in our ladies' room. Three of our newly confirmed youth were inspired through the service project that we're required to do. They were inspired to put on a bake sale to raise money for the Hope Beverly House. For all of you who are members of the Catholic Women's League and who were at the supper just a few days ago, we had a nice presentation on that. So again, these are things that, of course, are expected of us coming from our relationship with God. But we also know, as we study this, that God does also expect us to give for the building up of the kingdom. Not just for the material well-being of people, but for the spiritual well-being of people. And that's why some of these saints who are well-to-do would give some of their wealth to the betterment of the material well-being, but also they built churches. They gave money for the formation of the clergy. All of these different things that they saw as being needed in terms of the spiritual life. Well, why am I saying all of this? Well, I think it's important just for us in terms of our relationship with God to know, or to ask ourselves at least the question, what does God want of me? But also this Holy Trinity Sunday, we're kicking off our capital campaign because we have certain expenses that are right in front of us, things that are going to require a lot of sacrifice from us in order to meet the demands that are right before us. And the main thing is the paving of our parking lot. You know, when we look at the paving of our parking lot, it's projected to cost more to pave the parking lot than it costs to build the church. That's how much inflation has taken us, how far inflation has taken us over the past 23 years. But even when we look at the building of the church, I mean, it's a beautiful church. But from what I've heard, in building the church, they cut corners all over the place. You know, there are all sorts of places where they cut corners. Why did they cut corners in the building of the church? They didn't have the money. They didn't have the money to build it the way that they wanted to. And so, for example, one of the things that I was told is these walls are not really properly insulated. Because, again, but it's one of those things, pay me now or pay me later. It's one of those kinds of things that eventually it does cost you. But it's just that they couldn't afford it back in those days. We don't want to be cutting corners. But in order to do that, we need the generosity of everybody here in the parish. I know it's a big ask, but when, you know, we produce these little brochures in terms of building our future together. And the ask that we're making is really big, because it's not just about paving the parking lot. It's about what Pope Francis was calling us to in moving from a maintenance parish to a missionary parish. What's the difference? Well, in a maintenance parish, we do just the things that are required of us in order to keep the parish alive. You know, it's just a maintenance thing where we're providing the programs that we absolutely have to, but not a whole lot more than that. Whereas a missionary parish is one where we certainly are providing the necessities, but we're also going beyond that. We're spreading the gospel to people in the community. We're spreading the gospel to other people. We're providing for the needs of our youth. We're providing for the needs of our seniors. We're providing for the needs of all sorts of people. And you'll see it outlined in the brochure. They're in the bulletin, so you'll see what we have planned. But the ask that we have is, you know, it seems incredibly big. And in some ways it is. Because what we're asking is if we can get 1,000 families to pledge, because we're asking for pledges for the next 10 years, to pledge an extra $20 a week for the next 10 years. A lot of that will go to the parking lot, but a lot of it will go to other programs that we can offer for the building up of our parish and the building up of our community. Now, like I say, I know that it seems like a lot to ask, and it is. But I want you to pray about it, to pray about what you can afford. Because as much as possible, we'd like to have the money ready for when the parking lot is ready to be paved. We don't want to go into debt again, because the debt was kind of a crushing reality for us back 23 years ago. We want to be able to pay for everything right up front. And I know for myself, I'm making my own pledge to donate double what I'm asking of you. So I'm asking over the course of 10 years about $10,000 from people. I'm going to give $20,000 for all of these projects. Now I have to give it more rapidly than you do, because I'm not going to be here in 10 years. I'm not going to be here in this parish. I'll be lucky if I make it another 2 years before I'm sent someplace else. But I make that commitment that I'm going to give double what I'm asking of you. But what I'm asking of you is to take it to prayer. We have that kind of goal that we've set. But it's really up to you. As St. Paul tells us, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. But in all of this, we always have to see that we're imitating God. We think about the generosity of God, how God generously pours himself out within the context of the Trinity, but also how he pours himself out into us. And just like the example of the bride and groom that went and the minister says, "What's she worth to you?" We need to ask that question. What is our faith worth to us? What is our relationship with God worth to us? Are we willing to show that in a tangible way? I know many people have been very generous already, and I don't want to downplay that. People have been incredibly generous in this parish. But we need to see that there's more to do, and especially as we're facing all of these needs that are in our immediate future. So I ask that you look at this, that you pray about it, but you always see it in terms of responding to what God has done for you, and to show that in that tangible way.